This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
I got DDHL.
Yeah. We do. We both do. It's Barton Hahn.
I got the attention span of a gnat.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, when I did the power hour yesterday, felt good.
Felt good?
Like, it just felt good.
That was like epic power hour.
Would you like to do it again?
No, because the Yankees lost, so I should never do the power hour again. In fact, the Yankees lost and the Knicks lost, so I should never, ever, ever do the power hour again.
No, see, but you can get it off your chest.
No.
The sour hour!
I'm good.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
But I'm good right now. So, Bart, instead I will leave it up to you. We are in hour number three, so what's that mean?
Alan, it means it's the power hour, 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 hour. Hour.
It is.
Shh, shh. Sweep.
We're getting a lot of people that are giving you suggestions for rock bands to listen to.
Okay, I need help.
Including Rage Against the Machine. A very good one. You might like that.
Ooh.
Korn and Godsmack.
Korn. Yes. Godsmack?
Mm-hmm.
Just like smack? Five fingers to the face smack?
That's like that. And Casey's right. Casey reminded me, too, that Diddy song I was talking about, they used Kashmir from Led Zeppelin. Come with me. It's unbelievable. So you gotta check that out.
Tonight. Is Jamiroquai, is that rock?
I don't think so.
That's not soft rock?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It's like yacht rock.
Virtual reality.
Yes. Can you, Rich Cimini said that Elijah Moore of the Jets put out some cryptic tweets today. He was given a personal day. Is that weird on a Thursday to give a player a personal day? He's not at practice?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. You know, Thursday is the biggest install day. You talk about red zone, goal line, short yardage. You know, this is when you go through all your third down packages. You know, this is a big day. Thursday is a heavy, like, physical day.
Now, remember, Moore, after the game on Sunday, who wasn't targeted.
He wasn't targeted once?
I don't believe so.
But he threw 18 of them.
Yeah, but kind of responded to a tweet by Cimini who was pointing that out and saying, I'm going to be a good teammate, but, you know, making it clear he's not happy. Well, these tweets that I just checked from him, one, he says, God makes no mistakes. I trust you through it all. And then, love my teammates.
Trade them to Green Bay? What the hell going on?
But I don't know.
And we're winning. And see, this is tough.
I don't know
right?
what they're saying, though.
This is tough. Like, some people rather win their way or lose with them being a target. And I'm not suggesting that that's Elijah Moore and that's the philosophy. But it is frustrating when you are trying to become an out. You know, receivers, you're dependent on your quarterback. And he's trying to make a name for himself. And he wants to be seen as a bright star, you know, top 25, under 25. And, you know, the season has ebb and flows. Right now it's becoming a Breece Hall show. But before that, it was the Garrett Wilson show. And it's tough because you want to be happy for your teammates, especially when you're winning, but you do want to be part of the success. And when you're not targeted, you're like, man, I just want an opportunity to show all the work I put in because I've been grinding. I was the one this year that was supposed to be the number one. Mm-hmm. Remember, he thought this year he was going to come in as the number one. And now Corey Davis has some way found a way how to lead the team in receptions. And we thought that he was going to be the third guy, potentially the guy on the way out.
And teams are taking Garrett Wilson out of the picture. I mean, you saw what the
Zaire Alexander
did. Yeah. Yeah, it's just something to keep
an
eye on.
It's interesting. You don't need these type of dust-ups with a young team right now.
Oh, no.
That's why the veteran leadership has to come into play. But I don't know what type of veteran leadership they have, especially from the receiver position. Is Corey Davis somebody that's mature that people are going to listen to what he has to say? Mm. He's not really a super accomplished receiver. Like, this is like when you have like a Steve Smith on the team, a Larry Fitzgerald on the team. We saw last year a lot of immaturity with Chase Claypool going on. And, you know, his veteran was Juju Smith-Schuster that was doing Corvette.
Yeah.
So, like, that's when locker rooms come into play. They really don't have a veteran receiver. Who is it, Braxton Berrios? He's not veteran enough. He's not accomplished enough to be able to give Elijah Moore perspective.
I also get concerned because a lot of these young guys, it's, you know, there's
a lot
of emotion that comes with this as well, and you can get down. You can get depressed. You know, he tweets what he tweets. I'm sure they talked to him because I believe Salah said, like, hey, we all make mistakes. Like, made it clear, like, You know, we don't want that. So you know he got a talking to, and there might be a part of him now that's just starting to go into a dark place, which you don't want. Yeah. You don't want this. And so when you're
as you're winning, it comes off as selfish.
When you tweet stuff like that out too, like it does make you concerned. And then having a personal day on a
important install
important
day.
Practice day, right? If you told me this wasn't a big day, I wouldn't think anything of it. But because it's an important install day, it just kind of makes you wonder.
That's
so
where you get your money.
Let's see what happens in that situation. But a wide receiver that is returning will be returning tonight, and that is DeAndre Hopkins, who is back from his suspension.
Talking about tweeting.
And
by Easterby.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, he danced on that grave.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
The Jack Easterby thing, because we were big on that when that was all coming out with
the
Texans.
The whole Wickersham article you talk about, that was one of the best articles come out in years.
They moved on from him, and they did so pretty quietly. But I just found it interesting that he got there.
They gave so much power.
And Deshaun Watson was like, I want out of here. And then, I don't know,
he got DeAndre Hopkins up, reportedly, because he brought some chicks to, didn't agree with the type of women that he brought to the team picnic because he's a religious man and bringing that in there, that whole dynamic.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I also found it interesting that, you know, the Texans knew everything that was going on with Watson. Let's be honest. There's a reason why there was an NDA.
Of course.
And then all of a sudden, it's like he wants to be traded. And now everybody know. Like,
I wonder.
Sudden,
I wonder if they found out who the source was that put all that information out.
That all was weird. And
I feel like this should be a 30 for 30.
I hope so. Well, now that it's all in his past, DeAndre Hopkins back with the Cardinals to play tonight, ready to go.
I know I still got it, but nah. I mean, I don't itch to get out there. You know, I think people are more nervous for me being out there, my opponent. You know, than me being nervous. I've been in the NFL for 10 years. I've been productive every year. Whatever quarterback is throwing me the ball. So I've never had a concern or worry.
Never nervous.
I don't care if it's Baby Yoda. I'll catch the rock. It don't matter who it is. You know some of the quarterbacks I had to play with?
Never nervous. I like the confidence.
He's saying you should be nervous.
Yeah, that's what he said.
You're 10, man. It's 10 years already? Wow. Man, he was a prisoner in Houston.
Keep in mind, too, he's back in 6 weeks. They're celebrating his return. In baseball, he'd be banished.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
just in the corner.
Right? I mean, think about it. All right, you sat 6 weeks. Good. Can't wait to have you back. Hey, welcome back. Like, nobody's thinking a thing of it.
Yeah. He straight cheated.
Yeah. Like, he tested positive for a banned substance.
I apologize.
And that's it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We accept. You took 6 days off.
I mean, he did say he was sorry, Bart. But sorry, in baseball, it's caught. Like, banished, out, taken, stricken from the record. It's just, like, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me.
It's like the Superman thing where they put him in a glass and throw him into space. He just go float forever.
You're just spinning around and around, right. Like, it's just amazing to me that that's how the two sports look at the same exact thing.
They expect you to be on something. Like, you got to be on something to be that damn crazy. Y'all sitting there running to each other like some crash test
dummies.
To
do that every week?
Yeah.
Yeah, you must be nuts.
Can you do that? It's like Waterboy. Can you do this for me every time? Yeah, coach.
888-SAY ESPN, 888-729-3776. Victor's in Connecticut. Wants to talk some Aaron Rodgers. What's up, Victor?
What's up, guys? I called yesterday. Well, I'll be watching tonight as the Yankees. Still watching. Bart, check out Pearl Jam if you want to listen to some good rock. I like that.
I'm up like the 20.
You guys, Pearl Jam's good.
Yeah. So guys said Aaron Rodgers needs to take accountability for it, and I agree. He admitted diva-ish. But do you guys think like the coaching has gotten stale? Like the Packers can't make adjustments in the second half. The schemes don't work. How much is it on coaching? And do you guys think that maybe after this year it's time for LaFleur to go?
Man, come on. This dude's been 13-3.
He's lost two games in a row.
Right, first time he lost two games in a row. He's been 13-3.
Yeah.
Hell no.
And even Aaron Rodgers said it's not about that. It's not about the preparation. It's not about the scheme. It's not about that. He's basically blaming it on the personnel. He just thinks we're not good enough.
But that's his fault.
I agree.
Because he should have stood on the table and not been so nonchalant. If he would have said, man, we need some people, they would have moved up in the draft and got him a receiver.
Yeah. And then again, it's also not having the ownership of coming in early, knowing I got some young wide receivers here. Let's get on the same page. Let me get them right. Instead, it's on you, and we'll figure it out in live gameplay, and we'll see. Now, there's still a lot of season left, so maybe they do figure it out with live gameplay, but right now it does not look
problem
good.
Is Minnesota's getting a lot of distance in between them. They're already up two games on them, and they beat them in the head-to-head, so that's 2.5 games.
Mm-hmm.
If they slip any more,
they could be in trouble.
They're going to be a wild card.
No doubt about that. All right, so we got your calls. We'll continue with them. We also have a first big night of NBA action last night. Do we overreact to some things that we saw? Let's see. We'll discuss that. But first, Bart, tell us about Grainger.
Ooh, for all the ones who get it done, Grainger's there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can keep your facility safe and your peoples
your
even
peoples.
Safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. I'm sure they'll pick up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now Jonas got hit by Durant. Get it to McCollum. Leave it for Trey. Extra pass, Graham. Shot fake. Bounce feed to Zion. Down low. And the two-hand throwdown from the left side. Good pass by Devontae Graham.
130-108 was the final score in Brooklyn last night. Who had the 130? The Pelicans. Zion Williamson back and looked like he didn't miss a day.
Tell you what, Brandon.
And the Pelicans look like that kind of team, and the Nets look like how they've been looking all these years. It's like you never know what you're going to get. Yeah.
Brandon Ingram looked like a clone of Kevin Durant. It looked like two praying mantises like fighting each other.
So skinny.
You know what I'm saying?
Slim Reaper.
If Peter took him in the post, he might start a fire. He had to go extinguish the both of them had to take him out.
Zion at 25. 9 rebounds as well. It just physically looked like he, you know, was just back to what we remember when he was healthy.
He's never been in this type of shape.
And I love the smile that was on his face the whole time. Here's Zion talking about that return to action.
Man, I kept looking at T's phone like, look how God worked. It's crazy. Album Ready to Die changed my life. Now we in BK, and when they was doing the national anthem, just kind of looked up at the flag, then I said, oh, they got a big poster up there. I can't go outside now. But just simply playing the game I love, and I didn't get to play for a long time, just it was a breath of fresh air.
I'll tell you what, there's so much joy in his voice since he's returned. Remember how he was away from the team?
They had to send him to Fat Camp Portland.
Anytime he talked, he looked miserable. You know, he was defiant about some of the videos he was showing that he could still dunk. There was so much that you were wondering, is he just not happy? He sounds happy. Now, you would be happy, too, if you just signed for, $200 million.
I think a lot of that has to do with C.J. McCollum, too. The fact that C.J. McCollum.
And Willie Green, the head coach.
And I think the C.J. McCollum signing means, like, man, see, there are veteran guys that you value.
Put in some pieces there.
That think that this is a good place to be.
Herb Jones, a great defensive wing that they got. I mean, Ingram's a fantastic player. He had 28, 7, and 5. They drafted him.
Oh, wow.
It was a great find. They got a good bench. Like, this is a very good team. You don't want to sleep on this team. Now, on the other side of it is the Brooklyn Nets. High expectations, once again, because of the names on the backs of the jerseys. And Kevin Durant went for 32, but no one else seemed to show up. Kyrie had 15, but he was 6 of 19. He didn't make a three. He missed all 6 of his threes.
I'm not going to overreact.
And then Ben Simmons, in his debut as a Net, played only 23 minutes and fouled out. He was a minus 26. He only took three shots. He made two of them. He's looking for alley-oops. He wasn't getting them. It was very awkward. He missed two free throws. It just was not a good game all around Nets and for, obviously, a team with high expectations. So, Kyrie Irving is the one sitting there talking about it, and he's talking about something we've heard a lot about this group, and it's about being competitive every night.
This is going to be, a familiar theme throughout the year, and that's to consistently play with a competitive spirit without us talking about it all the time. And I don't want to sit in this seat after every game saying, we should have done this, we should have done that. Like, this is a grown man's league, and the most physical team wins.
What did you get out of that? What is he saying?
He said most physical team wins, but they were on a distinct.
Well, he's talking about competitive spirit. No, it's game one.
I get it, man. But the thing is, everybody's trying to round on in the shape. They did play without Joe Harris. They did play without Steph Curry.
No shooting.
That opens everything open. That puts way too much pressure on Ben Simmons, because the beauty of Ben Simmons is when those players out there, he facilitates. He can find the open man.
And they were 10 for 33 from downtown.
Right. So that, you know, that's the same thing that happened to pretty much to LeBron. When I say this is a bad matchup, because when you look at Zion Williamson, even though he's not tall, this dude's like baby Charles Barkley down there, grandmama, right? So then now you got, like, okay, well, Ben Simmons fouled out. But they had him on Valanciunas. Like, listen, that's still, no matter what the height is, that's still a guard on a center down there trying to scrap. Like, Valanciunas goes 6'11", 265.
He wasn't guarding him exclusively. They were switching. They switch a lot defensively, and that ends up happening.
But that's a hard, even for Claxton, that's a hard cover. Like Steven Adams, Joel Embiid.
15 and 13. Like, he's a big body.
Yeah, that's the issue with me that I'm going to have with this team. I think they should be in line for Miles Turner as well. Because you put Miles Turner on that roster, I think they have the size for a true center, also a stretch three that can open some things up. You know what I mean? I think that would be the perfect piece for them. They need a big guy, and I would try and get him from Indiana before LeBrick make that call.
Oh, the Pacers just want picks at this point, and that's
right.
What they want to see.
But the Nets have picks.
Who's willing to give up the picks and unprotected picks to do it, and the bidding will certainly continue. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And, you know, it was an ugly start for the Nets. It's not you know, do we overreact to what we see from them? I mean, do we feel like, once again, I mean, because the next team in, by the way, Friday, is the Toronto Raptors. And that's a good team.
Yeah, but that's a good matchup.
Why?
It's not a big...
Another hardworking team?
Yeah, but it's not a big team with a big, heavy center.
No, but they've got length everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
And they run up and down the floor. They're well coached. It's... You know, the Nets can feast on teams that are not disciplined, that are not in shape. You always get those teams in a league, and then throughout the year, you'll go up these matchups where a team's on a back-to-back. They're tired, whatever it is. But what Kyrie said really caught my attention, because I heard Stephen A. say this is, Kyrie, you know, the message is sent out to the whole league, yeah, and he's, you know, coming back with a vengeance and all this stuff. Is he playing for a contract? And he's already talking about competitive spirit?
Yeah, but is he
so? When do they start? How about this part? When do they start turning on the coach? When do they start looking at Steve Nash and saying this ain't the guy?
Did you see the Kumbaya stuff?
Man, I'm not going for that.
Well, you think they can't? What do you want, sign Mark Jackson in the middle of the season? Don't matter this time. I think if Kevin Durant gets
after
traded,
one game, talk about the need for a competitive spirit. It's your home opener.
That's Kyrie talking about this spirit chakras and all that sage. He ain't have enough sage or something. He ain't had no rose quartz. Like, they weren't in love with the game because he ain't be able to bless them with the holy oil before the game. Listen, they're going to figure it out, man. This team's too talented. They're still going to win about 45 to 50 games.
They are talented.
They'll be right there. I think they need to make some tweaks, and they have to play together in live action.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you got to get Simmons right. Simmons talked about how it's just for him. It's been a long time since he played mentally. It just, yeah, you know, he's a little rattled trying to find his place.
He just has to get in rhythm. Like in the preseason, you're not really playing to a game plan. You're just kind of playing, right? Now he needs to figure out how they're going to play, what spots they're going to be in. But a lot of that has to do with Joe Harris and Steph Curry, because that opens everything up. That's when Ben can really be Ben. Like, they were able to just sit off and slough off because they knew they didn't have the outside shooting.
I will say one last thing on the Nets is what looked familiar from last year was not just pockets of the game where they're not competitive. It's third quarters.
Yeah.
They are just a bad third quarter team.
They
either give away the lead or they see a deficit grow even more. They gave up 40 in the third quarter
That's a Nash thing.
That's a coach's quarter. You're right. Yeah, and that certainly is an issue. Andre's in Massachusetts. What up, Dre?
Yeah, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Listen, the Pelicans and the Nets are two teams moving in completely opposite different directions, and it's about how they responded to adversity. David Griffin earned his stripes by bringing in C.J. McCollum. That completely revolutionized their culture and created a situation that Zion Williamson wants to be a part of. So now they're going to be in contention in the West. Nets absolute opposite direction. Their only allegiance on the Nets is to themselves. Kyrie's concerned about Kyrie. Ben Simmons concerned about Ben Simmons. And Kevin Durant, who actually cares about the team, that's who he has to carry with him. So I think it's just the tip of the iceberg organizationally, I just think the Nets, on paper, yes, they seem like this gleaming and how good they could be, but their guys are not connected to each other. So I think they're headed to a midseason cross, you know, fork in the road, where guys are going to either, they're going to either be able to move guys to get into the win beyond a sweepstakes, or they're just going to head absolutely to the bottom of the lottery. Shout out to the Pelicans and David Griffin. That's a team that can compete in the West. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Andre. I appreciate it. And you know what? That is something to watch here because, remember, KD wanted out.
Yeah, but they're not tanking.
So we'll see where. No, I'm not saying they're tanking, but let's, like, if things are not looking good as we get closer to midseason,
I think it'll be mutual.
Do they move him?
I think it'll be mutual.
That is something certainly to watch. A lot of drama there in Brooklyn already. Meanwhile, drama in Tampa. Tom Brady just spoke within the past hour, and he addressed that tirade he had on the sideline with his offensive line.
Mm.
We'll hear from Brady and more in Audio Files next. Spartan Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
If you want to get, you know, again, you want to, like, educate yourself
down,
on rock.
Down, you know what I'm saying?
I'll get you down. It'll take a while, but I'll get you down. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Maybe we'll make another soundtrack, another Bart and Hahn soundtrack, but this will be Bart's Rock Education, Volume 1.
School of Rock.
School of Rock, Volume 1.
Alan I like Hahn, that. School of Rock.
We'll get Jack Black to narrate for us. Show's presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance gives you protection on the phone, online, or on the app 24/7 because things happen 24/7. Quote at progressive.com. All right, Bart, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files. The audio file.
See what happened when we changed the bell?
Kind of like it.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a good location.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It's above chest level.
Yeah, it's like.
So it's just like. Bing.
Yes. You don't have to, like, go.
Underhand.
Right, underhand's awkward. Hurts my wrist. Tom Brady, as we mentioned, just spoke about an hour ago.
He spoke?
Yep.
What are you talking
about? The big story out of the loss this past weekend was him just going up. Not just him missing the walkthrough by going to Robert Kraft's wedding, but also that he's on the sideline and he's just tearing into his offensive line. TB explains.
I think it's natural, you know, certainly when you lose a game, you know, if we won the game, it would be taken in a whole different context. So I think that, you know, me and my ability to, you know, whether that's raise my voice at people or create a sense of urgency, that's just part of my style. I mean, I've done that for certainly a long period of time. And I think the guys up front know how much I care about them. And we have a lot of great conversations over the course of the week in our own individual meetings on the practice field where, you know, they feel like they could say anything to me. I feel like I could say anything to them. So, you know, I think everyone's trying to work hard to put ourselves in a better position to win.
Before you comment.
Oh, really?
Robert Hainsey, the center. He's all right with it.
I love that from him. I know we all love that from him. It might look weird on TV, but that's football, and it's a team sport, and that's what you want from great teammates and great leaders, and he's the best there is.
Ryan Jensen didn't say that. For you, the backup, you just happy you getting a check with no state taxes. Man, shut the hell up. We don't want to hear from him. Can we get a better representative?
Who would be better than him?
He's the backup.
So what?
The backup. He's just happy to be playing.
And he's getting yelled at. You would think he'd say, like, what are you yelling at me for? I'm the backup.
He's still getting hazed. He's just so happy that he gets to play a performance bonus. He getting extra cheese on his taco because he's playing.
All right, so you still think that's a bad look. You don't like it.
Well, you said it can go both ways. I've never seen it go the other way. I've never seen a center or no tackle or Tristan Wirfs like, hey, man, what are you doing? You skipping them balls, man. Your mechanics are all jacked up. You're better than this. You're Tom Brady. Follow through. Over-the-top delivery. Get it out. What are you doing? You're better than that, man. You're Superman. You're the GOAT. And you're playing like a llama. What the hell are you doing?
Well, Ben Roethlisberger was watching. And all right. He was on the football.
Pot calling Tea Kettle Black.
Podcast. And he had this observation about Brady. Very interesting.
To me, this is just my opinion. And Tom is the greatest. I mean, the Super Bowl rings show it and talk about it and whatever. It didn't look like he wanted to be out there. I mean, maybe it was the pressure and he was getting hit and whatever was going on. And I remember at one point I looked down there. I was telling, I don't know if I told Jason or Brian, but I'm like, there's no way he's enjoying this. No way. It just didn't look fun to him.
hey, when it ever turns to work for a guy like Tom Brady who loves what he does, yeah. and it turns to work because he's committed to him, he could be stuck in between two worlds. I mean, you got to say that you're concerned about your children. You're concerned with the process of a divorce. That's hard to go through for anybody, let alone a GOAT who's never experienced anything but sunshine and rainbows, right? Everything's been copacetic. Everybody, it's always been perfect. Not perfect, but it's always been seemingly, from the outside looking in, perfect conditions for him to be successful. He talks about how many people are involved in him being successful, understanding the commitment. And, you know, everybody has to be tolerant of stuff like that. And then when they're not tolerant and they're not making it easy for you, they're not making it revolve around you and your wishes, that's a tough scenario, right? Because for the first time, now you're trying to talk to your kids. They're not around. You're trying to explain to them. I'm sure that people, they hear what's going on in the media or what's going on with mommy and daddy. And that's a tough situation. And he loves his kids. So it could pull away from your focus and your want to.
That's what I'm thinking is we've never really seen him have to deal with a lot of
like
this type of emotional drama. He's had to deal with Deflategate. He's had to deal with all kinds of stuff about football that people have, you know, gotten on him about. And he's shrugged a lot of that stuff off because he's so laser focused. But this is different. This is real life.
Yeah.
Like when you go home after practice,
ain't
nobody
in your
there.
Face.
Like you're FaceTiming your kids because, you know, you're not in the same place.
Oh, we miss you, Daddy. Like,
I'm telling you, man, like that, he looks, we've been saying it this whole season. He does not look right. He doesn't look like himself.
He doesn't look like his eyes are sunken in, like he ain't sleeping.
And Ben Roethlisberger saying this is like, all right, nobody wants to say it. I'm going to say it. He looks like he don't want to play. But he committed to playing. He's not going to quit.
He's not
going to
quit, yeah.
Middle season. But are the Bucks in a place that they have a guy that might not be all there? And Tom Brady, for his whole career, was always 100% there. Yeah. He's not 100% there right now, Bart. And that should be alarming to that team.
Yeah, they might have to give him a couple of personal days. Knicks!
Oh. Speaking of personal days, just the Eli Moore of the Jets.
Elijah Moore, yep.
He was, it is a personal day that he was given an excused absence, and there's some suggestions that he's got some stuff going on family-wise. So keep an eye certainly on that story. Yeah, no doubt. So to the NBA we go as we continue with audio files on Barton Hahn.
Pistons!
No, this was the other game of the doubleheader, the nightcap of ESPN's doubleheader last night. You had the Mavericks and the Suns, that rematch of the conference finals. And Dallas looked like they were in control for a bit, but the Suns ended up winning the game. And the biggest shot of the game came from Damian Lee, who made it 107-105 on this a nice little shot on the baseline. And when he made that shot, Steph Curry was watching. And remember, Steph Curry, that's his brother-in-law. Damian Lee used to be a Warrior.
Is it? That's his brother-in-law?
Yeah, yeah. Damian Lee married Steph Curry's little sister.
Damn, how many people are these people?
It is incredible how connected this whole thing is.
Because
Seth, right, is Doc Rivers' daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. What the hell? Man.
Right, it's very connected, this family, for some reason.
It's a cult.
But so Steph's watching the game, and you know, I mean, they got kids, and it's late.
Yeah, right? You don't want them to have to ask him for money, so you know what I'm saying? The better
so
you play.
Steph's watching. Ayesha wasn't happy.
Come on! Stick with it! Stick with it! The kids asleep! I don't care! Stick with it!
No, when you hear a black woman say, first of all, it's coming! You might be the king out there, but I'm the queen up in here!
So his son woke up. Crying.
No, you put his ass back to sleep. Yeah. I've been rocking him for 45 minutes straight!
You know how gentle. That's like. Putting a baby to sleep is like if you have like plutonium and you're holding it and you're gently
but we get up. Yo, she like, listen.
Hey.
First of all, when you hear a black woman say, that's like an exclamation point, period, comma, now I'm about to speak. First of all, that ain't even a word. That's just a phrase to say, pause.
Right.
Shut up. Eyes on me. I got something to say. I've been rocking Junior for 45 minutes straight with one hand. My right hand went numb. My left hand went numb. I had to lay on the bed, slide down to the floor.
Yes.
So he wouldn't feel that I ain't touching him.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Tuck him in, swaddle him, put his teddy bear in front of him so he feels like it's me.
Yep.
To get out of here. You telling me you scream? You know how big this damn house is? If you'll take your ass to the basement doing all that, we got soundproof everywhere.
He grabbed his phone and he's on Instagram and he's screaming at you.
He's like, yo, bro, you got the night shift, bro. Look,
I love the support, right? He's happy for him.
Hell no. Aisha ain't playing that. No suit for you. Thought you was going to get somebody. You going to be Limp Bizkit walking around this thing. How about that?
And that is.
Do it all for the nook. You ain't getting none of this cookie.
And that is Audiophiles. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Man, we got a lot of calls to get to. We've got them, and we've also got Sports Nirvana tonight. Everybody's playing. Everybody. So what you watching? You know I'm watching Yankees-Astros. What's it going to take to even this series? We'll discuss. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
What's this, Alan?
Listen, it's Nirvana.
I don't know. You understand? I'm a blind man and walking through these woods, man.
When he starts screaming, like, it gets intense. When
That's why I need you
to call. Towards the end of this song, he just starts screaming, and you go like, man, he's mad.
And it's a blind spot for me, Alan.
I'm helping you out. I'm bringing you through it. You asked me, I answered the question.
I'm going to go to a crowd pit and go get in the mosh pit.
Listen,
I need this crowd surf.
You would love that.
I need the crowd surf.
That would be hilarious.
And then throw me on the stage.
So let me, and be honest with me, because I know you were messing with me today. You had to have been messing with me today. Because you were like, oh, how are you feeling? Are you okay? I thought the Knicks last night didn't look good. The bench in the second quarter was not good. But the second half, they were extremely competitive. They started to figure, like, you know, again, Jalen Brunson.
Fought back.
I took away from a overtime loss on opening night in Memphis. I took a lot of positives out of that game. I think they could be a very competitive team. We don't. No one's, you know, thinking they could be a world beater. They're not going to be a championship contender. But could they be a tough out? Could they be a very good team? I think they can. And it's because Julius Randle played a lot more under control, a lot less that he had to do, and he just seemed comfortable. Jalen Brunson, by the end of that game, you could see the poise that he plays with in big moments. And then there's Cam Reddish, who showed you something.
That's the X factor.
That, man, he's got to play.
It's the X factor. If he can come off the bench with him, Rose, quickly, and give you buckets and be the running gun team, the athleticism.
I will say, Emmanuel Quickley's got to be careful. He has not shot over 40% in his first two seasons, and then last night he goes 0-6.
Yeah.
And you've got Quentin Grimes still hasn't played yet. He's injured, but you know, you hope to get him back. You can't take Cam Reddish out of that lineup now.
Well, he has to do it more than once.
Well, that's the next thing. All right, now we saw it. Keep doing it. Let me see you play with that kind of energy and effort and intensity. Let me see that. But R.J. Barrett did not have a great game offensively at all. He couldn't shoot the ball. He had a bad night. Mitchell Robinson was in foul trouble. But you still almost won a game despite those things.
Yeah.
So Friday night against the Detroit Pistons at the Garden, and the next couple of games are very winnable for this team.
Are you not? You're not starting with the Pistons, are you?
Of course I am.
Did you see Durin?
Yeah.
See, everybody want to talk about Bellancaro.
Bon-Caro.
Bon-Bon.
Paolo.
Everybody want to talk about Pablo Bon-Bon. Everybody want to talk about him.
That's not
nobody
want to
talk about Ivy and his 19 points.
Let's get some
What's
calls
up with that, son?
In 10 seconds.
Put some respect.
Bart and Hahn.
And you know Guns N' Roses, of course.
I do, but I don't know this song.
Sweet Child of Mine?
I got to hear it.
Welcome to the Jungle, you know. You know Welcome to the Jungle. That's an NFL song.
Can't be serious, Bart.
I just said the hook. I just don't know the word.
He actually knows this song. Yeah. We'll get you caught up. I'm going to make you
sing it.
I know the melody.
I'm going to make you a playlist. and you just listen to it regularly, and these are songs that I think will appeal to you. I will make a playlist. I'll send it to you.
I'm gonna come back.
I'm gonna make you a mixtape.
I'm gonna come back like Dave Chappelle. Y'all want to see my face?
Do you know Welcome to the Jungle?
Come on, man. That's disrespectful.
He knows Welcome to the Jungle.
I don't know. I'm asking because it doesn't seem.
But
like
I think I bet you if I really? Played if I made
Welcome
him listen
to the Jungle, we got fun and games. Quit right. playing, son. I just don't be know the name. That's who the hell singing it, man? Stop it.
That's a weight room song. There's no doubt in my mind that he's heard that. Well,
Lacto wouldn't know because he ain't never lived no weights. Last time he lived weights, there was a center block weights. The one that the one that Craig had on Friday, part one, the first Friday.
I don't have upper body strength, so you're not wrong.
you probably went and bought shake weights. Oh, these ought to work.
Shake weight.
These ought to work.
Those are hilarious.
I'm a lower body strength kind of guy.
Yeah, man. You've built like SpongeBob. I'm just playing.
I think you're oversharing.
And you're built like Larry the Lobster, but I don't say anything.
Wow.
I'm built like an Adonis.
Are you?
Remember Pisces? Remember Armageddon? When they were trying to do the psychological evaluations
yes,
on him,
yeah, yeah.
He was like, I don't care about nothing. Michael Clark Duncan, I don't care about that. He had the leper underwear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Baby, I'm in good shape, baby. He's like, quite frankly, I don't think they survived a trip.
For a movie that went from like emotional to like, you know, sci-fi freaky. That was probably the hilarious scenes. Yeah. Was that whole?
I want lots of babies. Lots of babies. I don't. Yeah. I don't ever want to play. None of them ever wants to pay taxes again.
Right. All the stuff they were looking for. Barton Hobb presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Sports Nirvana Day. The first one of the calendar year. NFL tonight, you've got the Saints and the Cardinals on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. The baseball's obvious. The ALCS Game 2, Yankees and Astros on TBS. We've got a doubleheader on TNT of basketball, the Bucks and the Sixers, and then the Clippers and Lakers, a sneaky good early game.
Don't be an ass kicker.
See what LeBron says about that one. And then there's 12 NHL games, including Islanders-Devils on ESPN+. Now, what are you waving your hand at me for? I know Sharks Rangers at the Garden. I understand. Yeah, you got
there you
that.
Go.
No doubt about that. So what you watching? That's what we're asking. Brian's in Cincinnati. What's up, B?
Hello.
What's up?
What, you guys are forgetting about MLS on MLS playoffs tonight.
I mean,
who's
you could
playing?
Add that. You could add that, MLS, if you want.
Cincinnati at Philly.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with him. Nasty, yeah. That's why.
Well, where were you, Lacto?
Yeah, you missed the FIFA.
You're our soccer. You're a football guy. How come you didn't voice your opinion earlier in the show? We needed Brian to tell us about this.
Nice little doubleheader for a spot in the conference finals.
Yeah. You didn't even tell us the playoff.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for being there, Brian, when our producer wasn't. Good job by you.
Brian's a great teammate.
Yeah.
Well, I've tried.
That's what a good listener does. Hey, guys, don't forget, there's also MLS tonight.
He's playing Asteroids.
This guy's a soccer. He plays soccer. Doesn't even bring it up.
I am watching it, though.
You like a goalie.
No, you're not. You're watching Yankees-Astros.
He looks like a goalie.
I mean, I'm
are you locked in, though? Seriously locked in? Like, you're not switching at all? Because I am too anxious. I have too much anxiety. I know you guys can't tell that I deal with anxiety. Yeah. I'm sure you can't. I can't possibly watch pitch by pitch by pitch because it's just so...
It's too long.
It's just way too damn intense.
It's like sitting in the MRI machine, man. You're like, painful. Man, 30 minutes seem like 30 hours.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing?
I need something main to distract, like a main thing to distract me, and then just keep checking in, and then when some actions happen, I can do it. Because that waiting between pitches and the like...
It's like death.
I love this pain for some reason.
Frustrated.
I love this pain for some reason, and I never understood why. Like, just the thrill of pitch by pitch.
That's
and then the
thrilling?
I don't know why. It's weird.
Oh, God. No. The commercials, no. Like I said...
I can't move.
If I start seeing like that cheese commercial, what's that family? Like where they talk about their... Their cheese store that they have.
I woke up feeling cheesy.
I don't care about your damn cheese family.
Oh, I thought you were talking
about... I just want the Yankees to score a run.
I thought you were talking about the cheesy commercial. I woke up feeling cheesy, coach.
Well, that's a funny commercial.
With the cheese roll?
I woke up feeling cheesy.
No, I start getting mad at commercials, especially ones that are on repeat. You keep seeing them.
Yeah.
And it could be somebody... It's one of, like, the prescription ones. And, like, you know, so it's some kind of serious thing. And you're just like, I don't care. I don't want to see you. Yeah. I get so mad because it's just... My team's not dominating. I can't enjoy this.
They will today.
Yes, the Antonellis. I don't care about your damn cheese shop.
They will do
get
what?
Me back to the game. I need Aaron Judge to stop striking out.
Okay,
don't care about your cheese and your whatever deal you're getting from the bank. I don't care.
If they lose tonight, tomorrow I'm gonna bring a dustpan. They lose the next day, I'm gonna bring a broom.
You can come on Saturday. I won't be here.
Yeah, neither will I.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably be at the game.
I can FaceTime your broom. Oh, we don't want you to go to the game.
By the way, all right, so if the Yankees win tonight, how much would you think it'll cost you to get to the game, game three Saturday? How expensive will that ticket be? And are you willing to pay it?
It'll probably be around 140, 150, and I'll think about
Damn.
It.
Damn!
You could do that.
I'll think about
you
it.
You can handle that. It's easy. You can easily handle like a 150 sitting anywhere in the building, right?
I don't care where I'm at.
So do they win tonight or not? Yes or no? Jessica Mendoza said that's their best chance.
She did say that. I spoke to her as well. I think they win tonight.
You say they win. If they lose, it's Lacto's fault. See y'all tomorrow.
Ass kicking.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn Podcast.